Can you tell me a bit about yourself and your job? What exactly do you do?
Yep, I am. Well, I'm a history graduate. They're talking about my job at the moment. First of all, I live in Spain. I'm English, but I came across Spanish in Spain really from traveling in South America, which I did just after university. And after I had some fun there, I moved to Spain with the British Council doing a teaching, kind of a teaching training project.
Which British Council school did you work at?
It was called the Inchisu Ikastola, which is in Basque, not Spanish, in fact, which was a great experience for teaching. It was small kids. It was kind of 5-year-old to 10-year-olds. But I decided teaching wasn't quite for me, and that's when I got into working in a language school, which was a group of language schools with schools in the UK, US, Australia. And from then I've carried on really ever since that. I've moved from that school to a different school, and I'm now working in EC, which is, as I said, a group of schools, UK, US, South Africa and Malta.
Did you do any teaching when you were travelling around South America?
I didn't actually know at that stage. It was only a short trip, and I just kind of fell in love with the Spanish, well, the Latin culture and that kind of thing, and basically enjoyed that. So I didn't do any teaching there, but I applied for a placement with the British Council whilst I was travelling. And they placed me in Spain rather than South America, as they choose basically, which turned out to be Bilbao.
So what made you decide to stay in Spain permanently?
Everything really, compared to Sheffield, where I'm from in the north of England, there's not much choice. The weather, the food, the people.
How long have you been here?
Since 2001, nearly 10 years now.
About the same
But,
as me.
yeah, no, it's lovely. I miss home. I do miss home. I love things about England, but I think
What do you miss the most?
I've English breakfast, pubs, my family, my friends, TV, which I can get over here apparently, but I haven't managed to fix that up yet. But hey, no, I'm having a good time over here as well.
Okay, so why is it a good idea for Spanish students to study English abroad?
Loads of reasons, I would say. Personally, well, and speaking from my own experience, learning another language and managing to kind of communicate everything and anywhere that you need is just, it's amazing. It's really rewarding. Apart from that, obviously, English for the majority of people now, and of course, Spanish is kind of a vital element of your CV, of working life. And apart from that, of course, it's great fun. I think it's mind, I don't know, it opens your mind a lot, makes you much more culturally aware. I've definitely become a much more open and I would say person than I was before. I definitely recommend it.
So if a Spanish person living in Spain were thinking of going to study abroad, where would you recommend? What destinations are popular for Spanish people?
I think at the moment it's more European based, I would say. The UK, Malta is also a very popular destination in the summertime. A lot of people don't even know that Malta's English speaking, I don't think, but it definitely is. And that's become much more popular in recent years. The US is on the up because I think, well, prices because of the weaker dollar in the last few years have been much better. Airfares are much cheaper. And then, well, New Zealand and Australia, South Africa, they're kind of more exotic destinations. Not as many people kind of, I think, dare to make that big leap, but it's definitely worth it if they can.
My
So,
students
yeah.
often ask me for recommendations. They'd say, do you prefer Ireland or maybe Wales or Scotland or England? And I tend to say that Irish people are more open and friendlier and they're easier to talk to. What do you think?
I suppose being English, it hurts to say it, but I think it probably might be true. Although I do feel us English are changing, I really do. I think we're also, I think with, English become a much more multicultural society, and I think with that, people have become more used to kind of, we're not quite so closed in English,
Yeah,
and
I agree.
private. So I think it's on the, but Ireland is beautiful, it is, and the people do have a very good reputation for their friendliness, definitely.
So if a student's decided to go abroad and study, what advice would you give?
I would definitely say go alone, and I know it's harder, but as I said, again, from personal experience, when I first travelled to Spain and I was living in Bilbao, I was totally alone, and the massive advantage of that is that you learn the language so much quicker than if you go in a group of friends, because obviously for your friends, you're speaking in your own language, it's much easier to stay in your group than to kind of break out. As long as if you're very determined and you're going to get on with your course and make friends with others, then that is fine to go in a group. But I think you're kind of more forced into practicing if you're on your own.
It's very tempting, isn't it, to speak Spanish when you're in a group of Spanish speakers?
Exactly. Well, it's almost impossible. I mean, as again, the Spanish lovely people that they are very sociable, and it's very talkative, and it's very. I think it's hard to break out from that if they've got if the option's there. So. I do try to recommend people to at least find an accommodation on their own, even if they're going to go to the same destination as their friends, maybe even different schools, and just so as long as they've only got a limited time together. And regarding a big city or a small town, I think that really depends on the kind of person, the person considering going abroad.
Yeah, that's a question that a lot of students ask me, and I agree with you. I really think it depends on what they're looking for, what sort
exactly.
of experience they're looking for.
Exactly. I mean, we, for example, in the UK, we've got schools in London, Cambridge and Brighton. Cambridge and Brighton are much smaller destinations. If it's the first time somebody, leaves their hometown, they're from a small town, maybe they're nervous, they're quite young, then I would say maybe try a smaller destination like Cambridge or something. But if it's somebody from Madrid who's already been out a few times, well, then go for London. Make the most of it, definitely.
Do you think it's true, Lucy, that there's more of a chance to speak and practice English in a smaller community, in a smaller town, than going to a big metropolis like London?
I guess so, in a way, yes, because you're kind of in a more close-knit community and maybe have more opportunity to mix with people from the city, from the town itself. But again, I think it depends on you. You have to, as in the student, has to make the effort at the end of the day.
Homestay. And students also ask me whether they should go to homestay, stay with a family, or go to a hotel.
I think they've both got advantages. The staying with a family, obviously, is wonderful because you get the insight of the culture. You're living in a completely different way, the food's different, the way people behave are different, and you get an extra support when you go home at night. You've got your adopted mum or dad or both, or brothers and sisters and that kind of thing, which I think is a great experience. It can be difficult for students because you have to be ready, I think, to adapt. You're not going to eat at the same time, for example, as in Spain. You're going to have to eat a lot earlier. The food might not be as nice or as what you're used to with your mum or your dad. But I think as long as you go with an open mind, it's a great experience. And as long as you're ready to, at the beginning, feel a little bit, a little bit, ooh, what's going on here? After a while, you'll soon settle in. You just have to give it a week or so. And then most people are extremely happy staying with a host family. And with hotels or residences, we normally work with them with student residences where we place students from all over the world. That experience is great because obviously you're mixing with loads of people normally of a similar age to you from all sorts of countries. So you can make loads of friends. Normally those friendships last for years. You go and visit them in their countries afterwards, that kind of thing. So both have advantages really. Again, a bit depends on the person travelling, I would say, and what they want out of it.
I have spoken to students who have had bad experiences in homestay situations. What would your schools do in that situation if a student came to you and said, I'm not happy, I don't like the food, the people aren't very nice to me?
Yeah. To be honest, as I just said now, that happens a lot, at least at the very beginning, because I think a lot of people are it's quite difficult to adapt. So I think it's very important for people to kind of advise that, at the beginning it might be a little bit difficult, but maybe to try and hang in there and see if it gets better, which I would say 95% of people who come unhappy to me, normally within a week or two are perfectly fine. In the case that it's not okay, schools in general, and definitely our school, we inspect our families on a monthly or bi-monthly basis. We go and visit them, we check out the room, we sign a contract with them for the kind of services that they have to offer. And so schools should be controlling that very well. You know, there can always be an exception, but it's really very rare. And as I said, I think the majority of the problems are more adaptation rather than actually a bad family.
So be flexible is your advice. Be prepared to adapt and fit in and be flexible.
Definitely. And as I said, I mean, I've done it personally myself in Spain. At the beginning, things are so different. It is hard. But remember that, you know, you're doing this for a reason. You're learning English. It is going to be a bit difficult at the beginning. And it's definitely, you know, just be a bit patient and open-minded, I'd say.
Exactly. Apart from homestays, hotels, accommodation, what other things should students take into consideration when they study abroad?
Well, obviously, I mean, Spanish may not have this problem too much, but there are things like visas, obviously airfares, medical insurance. You can either reserve these yourself or obviously with the person you're reserving your course with. There are a lot of add-ons. There's also airport pickups. A lot of people, when they arrive at the in a foreign country, like to have somebody waiting for them to collect them and take them to their accommodation, which kind of gives you a feeling of security, I think.
Okay. Well, is there anything you'd like to add? Because I'm out of questions.
The only thing I'd say is if you're considering studying abroad, do it. It's an amazing experience. As I said, I've done it myself. I now speak Spanish fluently, and it's so rewarding. And people really appreciate it if you can go up to them, being a foreigner, and speak to them, in their own language. It's a great experience.
How long did it take you to feel comfortable with Spanish?
It took me to be comfortable. I'd say about 8 months, and to be fluent, it took me a year, just over a year. So, I mean, it sounds a long time, but it's definitely, definitely worth it. And you can easily, I mean, just to improve your level, you can do that in just a few weeks, as long as you kind of immerse yourself in it, as I said.
Most of my students don't have the luxury to go long term. They tend to go maybe over the summer, maybe for the Easter break or Christmas break. Yeah. And I strongly recommend it, and I always say that maybe a month in England, if you're not speaking Spanish, is probably worth at least two terms of study here in Spain.
Exactly. Even a couple of weeks, the amount you can get out, because it's not just the course that you do, it's the time in the afternoon, your activity speaking in English with other people, then you go back to your family. It's such an intensive...
Going shopping, they're going to the cinema, speaking...
Everything.
Asking for directions in the street, it's everything. The whole
exactly. No, even a week, the longer you can go, the better. But if it's a week, if it's 2 weeks, if it's a month, every student sees the major progress that you can make even in such a short time, definitely.
Do your schools offer week courses? Because on the internet, they seem to be 2 week minimum most places.
Yeah, no, we do offer. I mean, as you said that you recommend a month, we do recommend that at least 2 weeks, because a week doesn't really give you that much time even to settle in. But we do offer special... especially for professionals, intensive courses for a week, because a lot of people working might not have even 2 weeks to spare for English. So what we normally try to do for the week-long courses is make it very intensive, maybe up to 30, even 40 lessons a week, and just really immerse yourself in the language to make it worthwhile.
Absolutely. It takes more than a week to get used to the English breakfasts.
you've just got used to them, and you won't get used to missing them, so you have to be at least 2 weeks, exactly.